Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message which I've entitled The Power of the Word. And as we looked at some scriptures, specifically Hebrews 4, 12, 13, which states that the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Word also is speaking of Jesus. He is the living Word of God. That's what John declares in his gospel. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And beloved, I want to say something. We were living in the very end of the end days. We don't know the hour or the day, but Jesus is coming back soon. And a person's salvation depends on what they do with Jesus. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. And there is a move. There's going to be not only a one-world government and a one-world economic system, but there will be a one-world religion. And there is a move, and unfortunately some even Christian brethren have gone down that road of great error to say, well, we want unity among believers. There's three great monotheistic religions in the world: Orthodox Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They all believe in one God. Well, let me just tell you, beloved, while the Orthodox Jews recognize Jehovah, the God of the Bible, yet that very same class rejected Jesus in the flesh. And our fellowship can only be, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, well, we have, of course, to minister, but the messianic believers, those who have accepted Jesus, which, thank God, is occurring more and more. There is, we minister and help financially as we can to some messianic ministries in Israel, that God is moving by His Spirit, and Jews are coming to faith in Yeshua. But beloved, let me just say, unless we are brought together in Jesus, that's the one new man, Jew and Greek, that Paul talks about, and we certainly aren't going to be serving the moon god that Islam declares. And so, beloved, we have to have great discernment in the days in which we are living. Jesus is the Word of God. Our contact with the Lord comes through His Word. The Word, if you will, has eyes. He sees our conduct. He knows our attitude toward it. The very life of God is in the Word. This book sees our conduct, if you will, the living Word of God. Jesus is He has set down His Word, His will, and one day we're going to be judged by the Word. Every idle word that comes out of our mouths, isn't that what Jesus said? This precious book of Scripture that God has given to us, that has endured the ages, has endured the persecution. There are those who tried to stamp out the Bible, burn the Bible, but they've never been able to succeed. Why? Because it is God's express will for His believers throughout the centuries. And when Rome was overturned, as I understand it, the Scriptures and the barbarians entered into Europe, the Scriptures were preserved in the British Isles by Irish monks. So God had a way to keep His Word intact so that we could be ministered to, we could understand, we could grow as we apply our hearts to read His Word, the sincere milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. And Our inner man is fed by the Word of God. The Word simply reveals Christ from the very beginning all the way to the end. Even when God spoke to Adam and Eve after they fell, he started speaking about the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the devil. And so throughout the pages of the Word, it's a revelation. It starts in the very beginning, opening chapters of Genesis, and ends with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's called, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled Lord of glory who stands in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The Word is God present with us, proclaiming God's living message to you and I. The Word does show us the past. It's his historical record, but it also is prophetic. It proclaims the future of things that are yet to happen, but it's always now for us, applicable for our lives right now. Now is the acceptable time. God will move now in your life. He will heal now. God will deliver now. He will supply now. He's the God of eternity outside of time, but he relates to us in our present moment. We can't live in the past. We can't live in the future. His grace isn't for the past or the future. We can't change the past, and we certainly have no control over the future, but God is with us now. And beloved, my heart's desire, my prayer, is when we get this inside of our hearts, when we accept the Word for what it is, when we believe it as though he was speaking face to face with us, it is his voice. It is his message to us. The Word then becomes actively alive in our hearts when we act upon it. James counsels us, he said, don't just be a hearer of the Word. We demonstrate our faith by our works. Faith without works is dead. Isn't that what he said? And so when we begin to act on the Word of God, when it becomes actively alive in our hearts, and when we step out in faith to act upon it, it becomes power on our lips. The Word has no power on the lips of those who are out of fellowship with him, but as we abide in him and his words abide in us, we shall ask what we will. His Word gives us limitless possibilities. His Word, very simply, is what he is. His Word is as real now as when he inspired, think of it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, they sat down with pen and papyrus or script or whatever it was they were writing on, and the Holy Ghost moved upon them. So it was not, they were the person, the vessel God was using, and they had their personality, but the truths revealed were the Word, the very Word and will of God. His Word is what he is. His Word is a revelation of himself. When Jesus was saying goodbye to his disciples as he was preparing to ascend into heaven, remember that on Mount Olivet? It talks about that at the close of each gospel. In Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, we find, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, this is what we call the Great Commission, which is never changed, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. Did Jesus just come into this authority? Think about that. He always had it in heaven. He was very God and very man, although he did the works that he did, and he suffered as he did as a man, because he had to be that perfect sacrifice. He could not call upon he declined that. Remember the temptation in the wilderness? He would not call on his God-given ability to change those stones to bread. I mean, the works that he did, the miracles he did, was by the power of the Holy Ghost. He did nothing. He did not start his public ministry until he was baptized by John in the Jordan, and the Holy Ghost was seen visibly as a dove descending upon him. And a voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So he did what he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, "I don't do anything except I see the Father do it." And so it should be for us. He always had that authority in heaven. Why was it given to him now that he was leaving the earth? Because that's what he was saying, right? Well, this authority was given because what does the scripture say about him? He was the firstborn from the dead. And he also was the head of the church. He was a lord of the church. And the church was going to be his body in the earth. Follow me now. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus was given this authority and power for the benefit of the body of Christ, for the church. And he was going to use this authority and power through the church that was being birthed originally in the upper room through his disciples, and now down through the ages. Jesus left this earth in his physical body. He was seen ascending up to heaven, and the angel said, "This same Jesus who you saw ascend, he's going to come back the same way in clouds of glory." But Jesus, remember, he said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you comfortless." He spoke to his disciples, but there was going to be a new body birthed into existence. Jesus, in a sense, would still be in this earth physically through his body as well as spiritually. How? Through the church, which is his body in the earth. This is all scripture that I'm sharing with you, beloved. He is the head of the church, and we are members in particular of his body, a living spiritual organism in this earth. Praise God. Well, I will have to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. There's much more to share, and I pray that you can be with me. I just get excited when I speak about the Word of God, because that's our truth, our source. He is the living Word. Don't you love him today? Praise God. Well, as I bring this broadcast to a close, as I always do, I extend an invitation for you to write, either by letter, brief note, or email. And even though I cannot, I always confirm the emails, and I will pray over them, but I respond through the mail. That's where the Ministry of Correspondence takes over, one of my joys. And so I do invite you to write if the Holy Spirit's not moving on you. He's got a reason for doing it, so please obey him. I love you. I pray for you daily, you see, and partners. I'm so grateful to the Lord for you and the radio family. Even though you're never written, I pray for you every day. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh.